There's no place like the movie theater. The smell of fresh popcorn welcomes you to a full body experience, while candies and sodas compete for your attention.
Pick me! Pick me!
Hoping to join you in the best seats you've reserved on Fandango. It's where movie lovers buy tickets, pick seats, and double up on rewards points all online. All that's left is to walk in, snack up, and sit back. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle. And we recently had the chance to sit down with two big names from two different clubs who have been two of the biggest success stories of this season.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long, but Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history. And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
That's right, Mr. Musto. We had the chance to sit with former teammate of yours at Sheffield Wednesday, now manager at Aston Villa, and Dean Smith. And the two of us got the chance to interview West Ham midfield player Declan Rice. Let's listen into that interview now.
Declan, thanks so much for joining us. We're so excited to have a little chat. We're a couple of former central midfield players from back in the 90s. It's been so great. Yeah, you probably don't remember us. I'm not sure you were born when we were playing in the league. Anyway, it's so great to see how you've played this season, Declan, how the team is doing. How would you assess the season so far for the club?
It's been a massive step up compared to last season, where we was fighting relegation at this time. You know, we was coming into training worrying about other results, you know, worrying about our result, how we played on the weekend. And a year on, you know, it's a complete turnaround. You know, there's now confidence that we can push into Europe, whether that's Champions League or Europa League. You know, we've got full belief as a squad, you know, as a manager, that we've got the quality now with 10 games to go that we can go on and achieve something special for this club.
You finished just above the relegation places last year, Declan. You talked about this year. Was that something, as a dressing room, you talked about with the lads? Was it something you said, you know, we've got to be at least mid-table? Was there any kind of any targets?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as players, we knew last year, I think, you know, as a player, that when you're on the pitch and you're not getting the results and things are not going well, that it's not good enough. I think as players, you know, we had to have a chat and, you know, have a meeting like we always do at the start of the season, and we set ourselves targets. And, you know, that target this year was to finish in the top half. And I've got to say, after we lost the first one against Newcastle 2-0, we was all a bit all heads in. We was all really panicking. But then, look, we've turned it around again, and, you know, we went on a great run from there. And I think that's been the main theme all season. You know, we stayed really consistent and stuck to what the managers asked of us.
So on that same kind of thought process, Declan, describe the impact of David Moyes over this last year.
Oh, he's been amazing. He's been incredible for us. Obviously, he came in last year with only 3 or 4 months to go, so he couldn't really implicate all of his work. But he actually said in one of his first meetings that once he gets us out of the relegation and, you know, we're going to go into having a full season with him, that, you know, we really are going to push on. And, you know, he's still like that to this day. You know, he's on to us, striving for more, pushing us even harder. And, yeah, it's been a complete turnaround by him, and you know, I'm delighted for him and the backroom staff, and the lads are so happy to have him here.
This is his second sort of stint with the group. Is it much different from the first David Moyes you had, who was at the club? Does he know the club better? Does he know the players better? Has he been a bit different this time around?
Yeah, I think he knows the players better probably the second time round. Obviously, the first time that he was here, I was actually only a youngster. I was only 17. So I'd only played a couple of games under him. I was just speaking in the last interview saying, you know, maybe then he didn't have as much trust or belief in me because I was a young player. You know, he was coming in. I think we was fighting relegation then as well. So he had to play the experienced heads. And now this time around where he's come in and I've had a load of games under my belt, you know, I've played for England, played so many games for West Ham now. He's had the full trust and belief in me to go and play. So not only for me, but I think for loads of the players that were here the first time round, you know, everyone's so happy that he's come again and, you know, we get to work with him again.
Declan, it's so interesting for us as analysts of the game here in the US and seeing how West Ham has changed with David Moyes as a manager. How has it felt as a player in his style, his philosophy on a match day compared to the previous regime?
It's so different. I think under Pellegrini, we was leaking too many goals. And the first thing when he come in, he said, he put up like a stats chart, like we wasn't running hard enough. We conceded way too many goals. Teams are outrunning us, you know, we're being outpressed, outplayed. And, you know, from that day, I think he showed us one a couple of weeks ago where we were now and the upgrades were like 10, 12 spaces above from where we were when he took over. But to work under him is amazing. You know, he wants us defensively solid. I think you can see every player that plays, whether they come off the bench or start, knows their job. We're really hard to break down and, you know, we've really found a way to score goals and create chances this year. And I think long may that continue.
Declan, does some of the squad feel like it's a different, that it wouldn't suit them with a different manager, with a different focus on the defending side of the game?
Yeah, I think loads of players would probably think that. If you're an attacking player, the last thing you want to do is defend. But he's got the attacking players really buying into what he wants. You know, when we're out of possession, how he wants them in their shape and how much they've actually got to run and work hard. He's always said, if you don't run, you don't play. And I think if you say that to a player, they're going to run because they obviously all want to play. So yeah, he's got everyone firing and yeah, long may that continue for all the lads.
I just want to ask you about a couple of players, Declan. One you play next to, one who plays in front of you. Thomas Souček surprised many people. We do a bit of analysis now. I keep saying to Mr. Musto, he's one of the best box-to-box in the league. And Jesse Lingard, who's come in and brought another option to your team. Just tell us about those two guys.
Yeah, Souček, obviously been playing with him for a year now. You know, he's gone up a couple of other levels since he's arrived. He said they're off the ball, massive help for me in the middle of the pitch. You know, he's got legs, he runs around, he's strong, he wins headers, he's tackle, you know, he's tenacious, he gives everything. And that's what you want in your team. You want people like that. And then obviously you've got Jesse, who everyone knows his quality. I think he just got really unlucky at Man United where they've obviously brought in Bruno and Donny van der Beek. So he was kind of pushed out a little bit, but we always knew he had that form and that quality. And since he's come here, you know, fair play to him because could have taken him a fair few games to get going. He was fit as a fiddle. He was strong. The first training session, all the lads were blown back by how good he was. And now he's got that England call up. So he's fully deserving of that.
You're settling an argument for me. When you have a penalty, who gets it? You or Jesse?
I'm back on him now.
You're back
I told
on
him.
Now.
He's got to come off him now. He's missed. It's me again.
Declan, just on midfield players and different styles and all that. I was a getter. I intercepted. I tackled. I won balls. I kept the ball simple. Earl, believe it or not, was a scorer. He used to get in the box and score goals in the middle of the park. What's your DNA, Declan's a midfield player? And is it any different, like, what we're seeing right now?
I think it's like what you described yourself as. You know, I'm not a player that's pleasing on the eye for the modern-day watcher now, you know, not doing dungeon step-overs and Rabonas and scoring top corners. I'm one that breaks the play, you know, reads the game, tries to give it simple to my teammates and probably care about my teammates more than I do myself on the pitch. You know, I want the best for the team. But I think this season I've really tried to push forward more, especially with the ball. So there's loads of little things I'm trying to add into my game. But like you explained there, how you was probably, you know, just get it, give it, defend and protect the team.
Talk to us a little bit about Mark Noble, because he's announced he's going to leave the football club next season. Obviously, you'll take on the captaincy from him. Talk about what influence he's had on your career on and off the pitch for us a little bit.
Yeah, I've obviously been training with him since I was 16. I'm 22 now, so he's seen a full development of me. And I have to say, he's probably one of the main reasons that, you know, I'm still around in the first team. You know, even now to this day, he's still on me in training if I do things that are not up to the standard, he thinks I can do it. And that's what I want. You know, I want to be pushed, and there's probably no one better that knows this club inside out. Obviously, played the games he has and the mark to tell me that. Obviously, with the captaincy, you know, special to be taking the armband, you know, off him when he doesn't play. And then obviously, when he plays, he takes it. But, you know, just the experience he gives you, the confidence he gives you, he just lets you go out there and do your thing. And, yeah, there's no one better to have around than Mark Noble.
Declan, just from my point of view, I just see the England squad's been announced. You're in it again. Jesse Lingard has been announced in it, which is great news for him. As somebody that wasn't really at that level, and I, you know, of course, we all dream of playing for England. What does it feel like, Declan, to put on that shirt and represent your country?
Yeah, it's special. You know, it's amazing. You can't really describe it. You know, that feeling of walking out, you know, singing the national anthem, you know, you've got your arms around your teammates. It's just a proper, unique feeling. And it kind of gives you that bit more energy that when you go out and you're about to kick off, you want to go out and win your first tackle. You want to win your first steady. You're really pumped up. And every time you're called up, I think you could take it for granted a little bit. You know, like I think now I think it maybe gets taken for granted, but, you know, your career goes so quick. Every call-up special. So you need to really cherish these moments.
There was a time further back where some players used to say they got a bit nervous going for England or didn't enjoy it. It looks like Gareth's got a good young group of players together ahead of the Euros. Is there a bit of a team feeling around the national team now?
Yeah, definitely. From the 2 years that I've been in around the setup, you know, he's put an amazing squad together. I think he's changed the mentality completely from what it used to be, from what I've read and what used to hear. People didn't used to enjoy going to England. And then now, you know, people love it. You know, the lads all get on with each other. You know, there's no cliques with other clubs. Everyone mixes and everyone buys into the way Steve and Gareth want to play. So, yeah, it's a real enjoyable moment every time you go away.
Listen, Declan, it's been great having you. Thanks so much for your time. Good luck for the rest
anytime,
of the
season,
West Ham and England, and we'll speak to you soon.
Top man. Thank you very much.
Okay, Rob. I tell you what, mate, one of the most enjoyable parts of our job, and we don't get to do it too often, is interviewing current players and current managers. And I got to say, I could have spent 3-4 times the amount of time to Declan Rice. I mean, first of all, Rob, what a lovely, approachable, friendly, smart young man he is. Only 21 years of age. I look at him and I think, wow. I'd love to be you right now with it, with a career that he's going to have. He talked about with passion about the England stuff. Is I wanted to get in there and ask him about that because I guess I'm so envious to represent your country like that. I think he's a gem of a player and a really nice guy as well.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? He's a beast on the football pitch, isn't he? Cool. He's a monster, yeah. But he sits there and he's quite introvert and he's very polite and very humble. You know, he's a profile of the modern player. I thought it was interesting. I talked about Thomas Suchet working with him, what Jesse Lingard's brought to the team, Robin, and also the David Moyes. It's a bit of a different David Moyes, that he knows the football club now. He knows the people. And really interesting with Mark Noble, how big an influence Mark Noble's had on his career.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to hint at the style of play. You know, he kind of basically said it is different now and that some of the attacking players are not thrilled about it, but he's all in. And I think that's one thing that we got from that is that the players are absolutely all in now with David Moyes and what he's doing, even if it is a little bit different to the normal West Ham way.
I wasn't so sure when he said he was a bit like similar style to Mr. Musto.
Oh, yeah. In terms of individual player, I'm like, yeah, he's obviously watched me. He's based his game on my stuff.
He's better than Mr. Musto. 10 times better.
No, it was brilliant stuff from Declan Rice, mate.
There's no place like the movie theater. The smell of fresh popcorn welcomes you to a full body experience, while candies and sodas compete for your attention. Hoping to join you in the best seats you've reserved on Fandango. It's where movie lovers buy tickets, pick seats, and double up on rewards points all online. All that's left is to walk in, snack up, and sit back. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
I'm ready to go. Streaming now only on Peacock. five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you do for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, I had a great time catching up with my former teammate, Dean Smith. We had a great conversation about what he's been able to achieve during his time at Aston Villa. Here is our full conversation. Well, great to be with you, Dean Smith, manager of Aston Villa, with teammates at Sheffield Wednesday many, many years ago. You were my captain at that point. Wow, things have moved on, my friend, and it's great to see you doing so well as a manager now in the Premier League. But I just want to start, the first question, actually the only question I want to look back, going from the Championship to the Premier League, Dean, we've talked about it, and I can talk about what that's like as a player, but we don't often hear it, what it's like as a manager. Give us a kind of a brief take on what it's like managing at that level and the jump required to manage in the Premier League.
One of the biggest jumps, would you believe, is actually the media, the amount of media that you have to go and deal with. And people don't realise it takes up an awful lot of time. And I met up with Sir Alex Ferguson when we got promoted, and he said to me, the most important person to you now is going to be your head of media. He said, because you don't need to be reading any newspapers, any social media. He said, he should tell you everything you need to know. So that was one of the biggest differences. You know, in terms of football, not a lot changed. You know that the level is going to go up. You know you're going to be challenging against Liverpool, Manchester City, with the players they've got, but also the coaches they've got as well. And probably the biggest lesson I learnt, I wanted to be as cavalier as I was in the Championship, and found out very quickly that I had to back off that a little bit and become a bit more pragmatic in that first season. There was a lot of reasons behind that as well. I thought we could actually have a go at teams. You know, we had a go at Liverpool at home and was 1-0 up until the last 3 minutes. But the problem we probably had, we had so many new players that we had to bring in because we had lots of loans when we got promoted and a lot of people out of contract. But also we lost some of our key players through injury as well. And it probably weakened us as a team. So, you know, the lockdown gate gave me time to rethink, refocus and actually become a bit more pragmatic and harder to beat, you know, which eventually saved us that season.
Yeah, it really did. And moving, you know, obviously you stayed up by a point. Tremendous achievement, really, given the amount of changes going on at your club at that time. But from that season to this season, Dean, and I think it surprised everybody, us included, the change of fighting relegation to looking for European places. How have you done it? What's changed? And is this stuff that you've learned? I know the signings you're probably going to talk about, but the difference, I mean, we don't see that very often. And like Villa right now are on the radar as like one of the teams of the season, given last to this season. How have you done it?
A lot of hard work, as I say. I mean, we became more pragmatic after the lockdown. Our players who we brought in, we brought in 12 players, are now Premier League ready, I believe. It takes time to get up to speed, and you know, even for British boys who've come out of the Championship, if they're not ready. But we've brought in players like Matt Target is a better player now, Ezri Konsa is a better player, Marvellous Nakamba a better player, simply because they're Premier League ready. They needed that 6 months in that Premier League to get used to it and adjust, because the speed, the physical outputs are greater than they are in a Championship. So the players that we had last season in the Premier League certainly have improved. But the ones that we added to that squad as well, we only needed to bring 5 players in this the start of this season. And we went for, obviously, quality over quantity. And it's at the moment, it's bearing fruits for us. we could actually, the way we wanted, we could work on our style of play and add players to that style of play, like Ollie Watkins, for instance. I felt last season that our counter-attacking threat wasn't where it should have been, and that was probably because we didn't have enough pace in the team. Ollie brings that, you know, in abundance, and you know, I think we've been a lot better in terms of counter-attacking teams this season. Just gives you a major threat against any of the teams in this league.
It's not often, Dean, where we go through the teams and new signings, and so many hit it off and make your team better through the core of your side. I know Matty Cash, a player that I particularly like, your goalkeeper, you can go right through. Just give us a quick sense of how your recruitment works. You know, who's in charge of that, Dean? How much input do you have? The club, the owners? Going to kind of give us a brief, you know, how that works.
Yeah, so it was very similar to what I had at Brentford as well, where I've got a sporting director in Johan Langer, who's in charge of the recruitment department. And we've got a head of recruitment, Rob McKenzie. And we profile players that we want in terms of our style of play. So when I first came into the football club, I spoke very, very much about developing a style of play for Aston Villa. And within that style of play, you profile the positions you want, what you see as a player, as a right back for you, what strengths we need for that player. And then it's the recruitment's job, the recruitment team's job of identifying them players and bringing the top three or four players that we can actually execute, because there's no point bringing players that we can't, you know, go and bring in. And then it's my job looking at them players and then showing my coaches as well, doing our character backgrounds and making sure they're going to fit in. And, you know, we want the character is a really important one for me, because they're going to be top players if we're finding them. But I want players who can come into the environment but also want to keep getting better and learning and not be happy just to be a Premier League footballer.
Talking about characters, my friend, just one player I want to talk to you about, Jack Grealish, and I know you probably get a million questions, but again, I want it from your perspective, Dean, and when I see him play, obviously the talent, we don't even need to discuss that. He looks like an emotional player, and that's what I want to chat and just get a sense of how is it, what's it like to manage him? Because he cares so much and he's so emotional. Sometimes he crosses the line a little bit, gets himself in a little bit of trouble. Mental toughness. You know, I know that again, we in the studio, we talk about how you've remained on an even keel in terms of your emotions through last season to this season, which we think is tremendous and not easy to do. How tough is it to manage Jack Grealish?
I'd love to say it's easy, but it's not. He's a unique character, but he's a unique footballer as well. And why I'm saying it's not easy is because he wants to keep improving. So he puts constant pressure on myself and the other coaches to help him keep improving. And the players around him, so constantly we're sitting down with him and looking at clips of his game, but also putting on training sessions that we know can improve him as a player as well. And, you know, sometimes it's stuff that he might not like, but it's important that, you know, I've built a good enough relationship with him that we can sit down and talk about it. He's such a great lad. I don't think there'll be a player in the dressing room that would say a bad word against him. He's one of the last to leave. Also, probably one of the last to get here. You know, he does like his lie-ins in the morning. But he's a grafter. He knows what he wants to get and achieve, and he knows what he has to go and do to get there. But on the pitch, he is emotional. I think he found it tough when we first came back after lockdown, not having fans there, because, you know, he thrives on that pressure. The pressure of being the captain, which is why I wanted to give him the captain, and I knew he could handle that. But also having the pressure of being a local lad, a supporter of Aston Villa Football Club, he thrives on that kind of pressure. So the bigger the pressure, the more you get from him.
Just on the crowd, Dino, I look at what you're doing now with this team and the attacking philosophy, and what a shame, isn't it? The Villa Park's not full, watching what you've done from last season to this season. Yeah, what does it feel like not having that behind you?
Yeah, there's an emptiness, I must admit. that there's no home advantage anymore. You're just playing at a stadium. I love Villa Park anyway, but there's an emptiness not having the supporters here. They helped us get wins last season, probably when we shouldn't have, and it helped us get promoted out of the Championship before that. You know, if they were there against Liverpool when we're beating, winning 7-2, it would have been an incredible atmosphere. And, you know, it's the one thing that's missing this season, unfortunately, due to the pandemic.
Final question, mate. It's been great having a little catch-up with you. Just where do you go from here? How do you make this team better? What's the targets? What are your plans for this season, or your targets for this season, and maybe next season as well?
Well, we're very thankful that we've got two unbelievable owners in Wes Edens, who also owns the Bucks NBA team as well, and Nazif Suiris. And they've invested into a football club that they believe they can grow, and that they've already come out and said their long-term ambition for the football club is to be a top six team that's challenging in the Premier League and in Europe. And they've given me the opportunity to try and grow that. And we feel we're a progressive club at the moment. There's still lots of work to be done, but it's a sleeping giant. It's from playing against Aston Villa, when Villa Park's rocking, it's a proper football club. And I was brought up a supporter when they were winning the Champions League in 82. If we could get back to, you know, European nights at Villa Park, it would certainly have the rafters going.
Well, you're on your way, mate. You're doing a great job right now. Best of luck for the future, for this season and going forward. And thanks so much for joining us on this show. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Robbie. Good to see you.
Wow, that was definitely a case of friends reunited, Mr. Musk. You and Dean going back over old times. It really seems, Rob, that he's very happy, content with life, where he's at. It's his boyhood club. He's kept them up. They're now in the second season. They're sitting at the right end of the table. Couldn't be much better for him, could it?
Well, that's what, you know, right at the end there, Robbie, he's basically talking about it. And I'm saying, you know, like, wow. You know, you kind of live in the dream a little bit. And the Premier League manager with the club that you supported as a boy. And one thing he stuck with me, Rob, he said, you know what? I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And it's like, I'm gonna be determined to enjoy this position, this role. And he's absolutely right. And he said, like, I look around at some other managers in the Premier League and they look so stressed out. And he's like, I don't want to be like that. And I think there's one thing, Rob, I think we've talked about it before with him, is that it keeps on this even keel. Like, he's got the mentality and attitude of, you know what? Yeah, I know there's going to be tough times. I know there's going to be good times. And I'm going to just try and keep level in perspective. And I think that's what's put him in great stead. And I mean, long may it continue, right? Because I honestly, I don't know what they'd said before. He invited me to his house when I played at Sheffield Wednesday with him. He was a captain. He knew I was away from my family in a little hotel in Sheffield. He invited me over. His wife cooked this lovely dinner for us, the sweetest little family, a little modest house in Sheffield. I couldn't be happier for one of the good guys to show his worth on the other side of the game. And he's having a marvellous, marvellous career as a manager now, particularly right now at Aston Villa.
Yeah, proper football giant. And I tell you, one person who I'm hoping, Rob, is learning a lot from him, John Terry.
Yeah.
John Terry's point is going to go into, you know, the hot seat. And that bit where you talk that levelness of Dean Smith, not too high on wins, not too low, is a really important characteristic managers got to have. So that does it for this special edition of the Two Robbies podcast. Don't forget to check out our previous episodes, recapping the latest Premier League results, Champions League results, as well as our episodes celebrating Women's History Month with Sean Massey-Ellis, Olivia Smart, Rose Lavelle and Kevin De Bruyne. You can subscribe and listen to the Two Robbies podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Stitcher. We'll be back this Sunday, April the 4th, recapping the latest round of Premier League fixtures, highlighted by two marquee matchups in Leicester City versus Manchester City and Arsenal hosting Liverpool.